Let's pray as we stand. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, our sermon text this morning is Mark chapter 15, the portion that was read to us earlier in this service. Imagine for a moment that we've all been transported to the heart of the Compiègne Forest in France, some 40 miles north of Paris. It's a cold day in the late autumn of 1918, and as we walk through the forest, we come to a clearing where we see a railway carriage sitting on a siding. We come close to the windows, and we're able to peer inside and see several men crowding around a table where someone is writing on a piece of paper. A group of men inside a railway carriage writing on a piece of paper. Those are the historical facts of what happened. That's exactly what we would have seen had we been there. But what did it mean? I'm sure at least some of you have managed to work out that what we were seeing were the representatives of the German and Allied forces signing the armistice that brought the First World War to an end. Those men signing that document inside that railway carriage were doing something of enormous significance for all of Europe, something that had consequences for years to come, and something that still shapes our world. It's not just enough to witness a historical event. We've got to know what it means. And if we had been traveling into Jerusalem on a certain day in the spring of AD 30 or so, we would have seen three men hanging on crosses just outside the entrance to the city. Virtually no one, whether Christian or not, disputes that Jesus was crucified when Pilate was governor of Judea in the early part of the first century. His crucifixion was an historical event witnessed by many people. But what does his death mean? The first century Jewish historian Josephus described crucifixion as the most wretched of all ways to die. And yet, even during Josephus' lifetime, the cross became the very center of the good news proclaimed by the early church, and it's still at the center of our worship and witness today. The point is not just what happened, but what does it mean? And as Mark tells us what happened in the passage we read today, he also interprets it for us. As he narrates the story, he goes out of his way to tell us what it means. And so I hope this morning that we'll be able to look at this passage together and discover three ways in which Mark isn't just telling his readers the facts of the crucifixion, but he's explaining the meaning of the crucifixion. First, Mark uses prophecy to explain the meaning of the crucifixion. Second, Mark uses history to explain the meaning of the crucifixion. And third, Mark uses Old Testament religion to explain the meaning of the crucifixion. So first, Mark uses prophecy to explain the meaning of the crucifixion. The Bible is an unusual book in that the climax, the most important chapters, the event that ties everything together, they don't come at the end, but they come about two-thirds the way through. And woven through that first two-thirds, the bit that we've come to know as the Old Testament, there are prophecies, and these are predictions that God will one day send someone to rescue his people from their sins and from his judgment. And as you read through the Bible, you're constantly being pointed forward to the time when the Messiah, the Christ, the Rescuer, will finally come. And these prophecies give God's people hope. hope through those long years as they waited for the dawn of the Messiah, the one who would restore their fortunes, rule in righteousness, and finally usher in God's kingdom. And when Jesus finally did come, the fact that he fulfilled these prophecies clearly identified him as God's true Messiah. But remember, even though Jesus had warned his disciples several times, the crucifixion took his own disciples by surprise. They'd always emphasized the positive predictions, predictions about his glorious reign, predictions about his triumphant victories, and predictions about his everlasting kingdom. But they had never really accepted that he was going to suffer and die first. So it was all the more important that they understood that even in his death by crucifixion, Jesus was fulfilling prophecy and proving that he was the Messiah. So look this morning at two details that Mark emphasizes. First, look at verse 24. Mark actually takes longer to tell us what the soldiers did with Jesus' clothes than he does to tell us about the actual process of crucifixion. Verse 24, "And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get." Here is a picture of utter callousness. It's hard to imagine how you could possibly crucify a man and then, just a few steps away from his suffering, throw dice for his clothes. It's a scene of casual cruelty and brutal insensitivity. But why does Mark stop and highlight that? Well, it's because it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Back in Psalm 22, King David wrote about his enemies. "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." The greatest king that Israel ever had was David. And near the end of his life, Nathan the prophet had come to tell him that one of his descendants was going to sit on his throne and rule over Israel forever. And many of the songs David wrote, the Psalms, they have statements that relate to his life, but they also predict what was going to happen to the perfect king of Israel, the Messiah, David's descendants. And here's something that David wrote that was true about him, probably when he was being persecuted by Saul, but it was even more intensely true of the ultimate Davidic king, Jesus, when he was crucified. "They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. Secondly, look at the second half of verse 32. "Those who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him." Verse 31, "The chief priests and teachers of the law mocked him among themselves." Verse 29, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads." And Mark lists the appalling verbal abuse that Jesus suffered as he was hanging on the cross. And he even tells us how the passers-by shook their heads as they mocked.